The news and talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN. It is now time for the Lawrence Business Magazine show, right here on 1320 KLWN. And your host is Ann Frame Herzog.
Thank you, John. Each week we have in-depth conversations to follow up and explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. Today, I'm pleased to have Women of Impact, Sue Hack, the Executive Director of Leadership Lawrence, Tracy Howell, the Executive Director for Habitat for Humanity, and our woman to watch, one of our women to watch, Daryl Bugner. She's an art director at Current Group, which is one of, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But one of the things we wanted to talk about, we're so happy to have you here. Well, thank you, first of all, Women of Impact,
for
being here.
Good morning.
Thank you.
So this is a little bit different. One of the reasons I was really kind of, this magazine that we did about the Women of Impact was a lot of fun because we really tried to make sure we had a broad spectrum of people and doing different things in the community and trying to make sure to see business differently, that business isn't always your mortar and bricks business, that's obviously big, but how when people work and do things in the community and how they influence the community through their business and their work is all part of business and our community. And we have three women here today that do different things and have kind of, I think, may have different perspectives because Sue, as we know, she's been doing this a little longer.
So, thank you, Ann, for pointing that out.
You're a stateswoman.
Appreciate. Oh, yes. Actually, that was my my high school mascot was Statesman, so
really?
Yeah, I took it
perfect.
Seriously. What a dork.
But you've been in public service a long time, and one of the things too is interesting. Both you and Tracy kind of, but both have done different things. You both were teachers, which I think is an interesting. So that perspective. So Tracy's been doing this a little while, and then Daryl is kind of starting out. She's done a lot for a young woman, which is
amazing.
One of the reasons
True.
She's in. So we wanted to talk about kind of those different things, but I want to talk a little bit about kind of each of your histories and kind of go on there. So I'm going to start with Tracy. We'll let you. So Tracy, let's talk a little bit about your personal history, a little bit about your involvement and how you came to be in Lawrence, and give us a little quick bio. And your
okay, quick. I like that you said that because seriously, it can get long
well,
when I start listing the states that I've lived in. But you know, the great part is that I came back to Lawrence, and I think that's my favorite part of my story. Well, I got my undergraduate degree at Emporia State, and then got my master's degree at KU, and started working in higher education administration for a number of years, about 12 years. In that field, you travel around the country, you work at different colleges, working with college student leadership and college development, taught college students for a number of years, but also did advising and working with leadership opportunities. Well, my husband, at the time we were living in North Carolina, my husband wanted to come back to the area and do his PhD at KU, and that brought me back. And all of a sudden, I was looking around going, I don't have a job, I don't know what to do, and ended up really matching my skill set and worked at the Roger Hill Volunteer Center as the director for a couple of years under Joe Bryant, and really just opened my eyes to this community. That position gave me an opportunity to work with all the different nonprofits and organizations and civic organizations, leadership in town. And then I, you know, took some other opportunities to get into development, and that led me now to Habitat for Humanity. So it's funny that I worked in leadership for quite a while and fell into nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And I think it's funny if you talk to a lot of people in nonprofit, they have that same story. There was something that led them into, and Habitat just, I wasn't even looking for a position at the time, and they drew me in faster than I ever could have imagined. There was just so many things about the position, about the organization, that I knew I could go in and make a difference, and decided to take that leap, and glad I did.
That's great. So what about you, Daryl? You grew up down just south of here, so.
Yes, I grew up in Ottawa, so I didn't venture too far from home when I went to college. I went to KU in 2003 and graduated in 2007 with a degree in visual communications from the Fine Arts School. And while I was still in school, I started working at Sunflower Broadband, doing graphic design for them and some branding and outreach, and kind of fell into this position with Mark and Kern Marketing Group. And I was kind of his initial full-time artist, and we've just grown exponentially since then. So
let's go. And what we're going to get to is you are a very talented artist, and I can attest to that. But one of the things that the reason that you were included and we really thought strongly that as a woman of impact or a woman to watch is your involvement and your commitment to a lot of different causes. And Daryl works with me, so that's a declaimer. She's the reason everything looks so great coming out of Kern Group. But one of the reasons we talked to her is Daryl's only problem she has is she has a real hard time saying no.
Yes, that's very true.
So, so we'll talk about that and the commitment there. So let's talk to Sue about your history, because it's a little different because you worked in the public schools here for
right,
so long.
Right. Well, I also went to KU, so yes. That seems to be a theme here, right? And my family moved around quite a bit when I was little because my father worked for Monsanto. So we were transferred. We spent time on both coasts, a lot of the Midwest. Had grandparents in Minnesota and in Texas, so we saw a fair amount of the country. I came to KU for the very, very strong reason that I didn't want to go to MU out of St. Louis. So, I mean, there was a huge commitment on my part. I don't remember a whole lot of angst about making my college choice other than, oh, that's right, you're going to KU. I think that sounds like fun. So that's what we did. Mm-hmm. Had no idea that I would end up in Lawrence, Kansas, but stayed here, married Al from Lawrence, and this is where we've made our home. And I started teaching. We were married in 1971, and then I started teaching junior high that year and taught for 34 years, retired in the spring of 2002. I had just been selected mayor by the city commission and then served 8 years on that. Took over as a volunteer coordinator for Leadership Lawrence in the fall of 2005 and was officially hired in the spring of 2006. And so I've done it ever since. And it's been a nice combination of the Lawrence part and the leadership part and the teaching part.
And it is a great congregation. And that's one of the things when I said stays person, because, I mean, you retired. I mean, you spent 34 years teaching and you've been, I think retired is kind of a...
Yeah, I'm not sitting home watching Jeopardy. Yeah. I guess you could say that.
And you're here, as person, you know, working, talking to the people that are trying to, you know, recruit retirees to Lawrence. Is one of the things they talk about is, you know, is retirement has a much different yes. definition than it used to.
Yes.
And you are the epitome of that.
You do
anything but retire. Right. So,
well, I do think that's true. I think people that are in their, you know, early, mid, late 60s are looking at other ways to get involved in their community and to give back. I don't see a whole lot of, well, I reach this magic age of whatever and I'm done. Mm-hmm. Because I think we've been so active. We probably, you know, I'm the first generation in my family to be a working mom. I mean, my, mm-hmm. you know, I worked full time when my kids were little and my mother did not. My mother was a stay at home mom. Al's mother was a stay at home mom. I mean, did volunteer work, mm-hmm. did other things, but, you know, stayed at home. And I think it's a different generation. So when you've been active, I love having time at home. I mean, I love a day if I don't have to do anything. It's such a bonus. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I cannot imagine spending my time sitting in a rocking chair. I can't do that. So mm-hmm. besides, I'd weigh 900 pounds.
But that is interesting, too. And that's one of the reasons we're talking about. It's the how things have changed over the years from what Daryl's experience in as a woman, yes. trying different opportunities to Tracy kind of, you probably, you were after Title IX, but kind of at the beginning of Title IX. I know I was a product of Title IX myself completely. And, you know, you before Title IX and then,
oh, yeah.
become, you know, it's you know, part your generation is part of the reason we have Title mm-hmm. IX. You helped us, you know, help that pass, which is huge. And then we get into a whole political discussion. But things do change. I mean, just with 19 women being in the Senate now, it's
yes.
a different, you know, the landscape is changing. And I think that's, and we had a debate when we did the Women of Impact issue at that, you know, why are we just selecting women? Because mm-hmm. there's so many people in our community. But it was just a way to kind of, you have to narrow down the group a little bit when
sure.
you're trying to create a story. And women still, you know, do not... you know, people don't always see them in the same roles, even though they've been there for a long time. It's just a different perspective. But I think it's changed. And I think for people like Daryl's age, I don't know if she even sees those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I see them more because I was just raised with them. Mm-hmm. So talking about that, I want to talk about what you've done and kind of how it's changed over the years, but why you got involved with public service. What drove you to be that, to go to public service and to run for mayor? Because mm-hmm. that was difficult. I mean, being a mayor in this town is not an easy job.
Correct.
So yeah. Why did you, I mean, where did that come from?
Well, I know it sounds trite, but I've always been fascinated by government. I mean, I taught history, I taught government. I really like that whole process. And I think if I had been born in a different time, I could see myself running for national office. But at the time, when I chose to run for city commission, it was just something that I'd been involved. I'd worked on some campaigns. I mean, Irv Hodges was here in Hank's show. We worked on Irv's campaign, worked on Bonnie's campaign, worked on a number of other commission campaigns. And I thought, well, I wonder if I could do that. Mm-hmm. And it what I envy, honestly, about Daryl's situation and Tracy's situation is that I had to ask myself if I was capable of doing that, because that's not the way I was brought up. I mean, that's mm-hmm. I don't say that's not the way I was brought up. My parents said, go for it. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have those role models growing up. Mm-hmm. There weren't women involved in those things. These two ladies have seen women involved in all sorts of things. And for them, it's like, well, heck yeah, I can do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm a ninth grade teacher. I love teaching school, but I'm only a teacher, which mm-hmm. I will never say, you know, again after having taught. But I really envy that position of thinking the sky's the limit, because that the sky was not the limit when I was first in the workplace.
Right, as to where we're just considering. For me, it's not even a question of how that will occur. It's just when.
Just when. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's incredible freedom, because I agree with you, because I tell the story. When I was in seventh grade, we had to fight to have a girls' basketball team. Mm-hmm. They did not give us a girls' basketball team. We had a high school basketball team, but there was no girls' basketball team. This was back. Some people were born in this room, but
let's not talk dates. About. Okay. Yes. Let's not do that.
We didn't have a basketball team. And the fact is that the girls, this was in a small town in Western Kansas. All of us girls went in and did a sit-in in the principal's office and wouldn't leave until he gave us a girls basketball team.
And see, you would have done that. And I would have thought, I can't do that because I'd be in trouble. All of these different phases
that
people in our community have gone through. I mean, it's not just women. It's women and men and the possibilities open and things. But it is interesting to think about those stages.
Well, one of the things, and we'll get into more, I want to talk a little bit about the diversity and stuff. But, and when we come back, we also find out about what motivated both Daryl and Tracy to get into public service.
Right here on the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
Get ready for winter driving and get some extra spending money. Just drop by your local Michelin dealer from November 1st through 24th, 2012, and buy any set of four new Michelin brand passenger.
Afternoon, gusty south winds up to 67, partly cloudy, not as cool, 52 tonight. Partly sunny, windy, 75 tomorrow. Saturday, partly sunny, breezy, high of 76. Veterans Day showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm. From the 1320 KLWN Weather Center, I'm meteorologist John Weatherby.
News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN. Let's continue with the Lawrence Business Magazine show. And once again, here's your host, Anne Frame Herzog.
I'm here with Women of Impact, Sue Hack and Tracy Howe from Leadership Lawrence and Habitat for Humanity, along with our woman to watch, Daryl Bugner from the Kern Group. But we're talking about kind of what motivated and drives people to kind of to volunteer and to be part of that, be part of the bigger community. So Daryl, let's talk to you. It's like, because one of the reasons you're on this is because you really have a long list of things that you really do are very active and very involved with. So let's talk a little bit about that and about why.
Well, I think part of it is that kind of generational thing. We were just kind of talking about how baby boomers had these kind of, for women, roles that they were supposed to be in, teachers and nurses, and I am a product of a baby boomer, so I think just having those people as our mentors to telling us that we can do whatever we want to do, be whatever we want to be. They were kind of more defining who they were as individuals, whereas our generation now is kind of figuring out what we can do as a group together to lift up other people, I think. Also, I think that when I was growing up, I had one mentor, a teacher who was actually a coach for me. Mm-hmm. And through middle school, I played volleyball and I did track, and I think he knew that I wasn't very good at those things. And he never said that I wasn't good, but he said, you know, maybe you should do something with leadership. And that is something I was really good at, was volunteering.
You'd be very good in the student council.
Right.
Have you thought about?
So one of the clubs that I was really involved in was Key Club, which is a community service organization. And that gave me so many opportunities. I was able to travel and go places that my parents never got the opportunity to do when they were growing up. Mm-hmm. I got to go to the national conventions in D.C. and California and Florida, and I got to take these amazing trips and meet all these amazing people. And so really just taking all of those experiences, you know, that are really life-changing experiences and seeing the world in a different way than our parents did, I think really influenced. And I think there's a lot of other young people who have those same experiences who are able to travel a lot more. And I think that really mm-hmm. has a lot to do with how we see the world, I guess.
Yeah, you see yourself as part of a bigger picture as
right.
opposed to just your kind of people. You can get myopic. People can get kind of like, this is just dealing with their day-to-day. Because as we all know, we have busy lives. You get it's hard. You have to break out of that. But so for you, you're saying start very young.
Right.
Is this kind of drive to be kind of part of that?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So,
I did not know that you had been in the Key Club. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
That's
I mean, it was in our high school, it was a huge club, too. It was mm-hmm. really popular. And I think volunteering in general with the younger generation is really increasing. Why? I'm not exactly sure. I think part of it is we have seen historically we were shaped by, you know, viewing 9/11 and things like Columbine and these really tragic events where we watched people come together and help each other out and mm-hmm. really build up other people. And I think we really have taken that to heart and tried to make something bigger out of ourselves.
That's great. Mm-hmm. I like that. That's an interesting perspective. What about you, Tracy? What drove you? Why did you do, other than just falling into it, obviously, though you had to have
I'm really good at that. No, it's funny because there are a few things that are similar to Daryl. I remember being in college and being very involved. I don't even know how those things happened to me sometimes, but I was the recruitment chair for my sorority and the student senate president and the president of the student ambassadors at Emporia State. I was in student government for a number of years and interned at the Capitol and did the same in college and graduate school. And I wonder, I sat around and I try as an adult to figure out what's that intrinsic value in me? What motivates me and what gets me to those positions? And I think for me, it honestly is that, excuse me, being surrounded by other people feeds me, and being connected to other humans feeds my energy mm-hmm. and excitement. And I then transition that into service in so many different ways. For those who aren't familiar with sororities, and Sue had even mentioned that before, just a lot of the community service aspect is relatable to fraternities and sororities and what you're doing. And I mentioned I worked with college students for a number of years. I was a Greek advisor for 10 years. And a large part of that is looking at the philanthropy and the service that those organizations are doing. So as their mm-hmm. advisor, encouraging them to look at what connects to them and their own personal heartstrings, and what do they want to be benefiting. Mm-hmm. The other part of that is I think about, and I said this when I was doing the interview for the magazine, but I think about my mother and the example that she sets for me. I have a mother who was kind of, I'm the same way, but mid-generational, and she's in her late 60s now. She wouldn't be embarrassed if I said that, and Sue will be happy to know that I'm recruiting my parents to, they live in Texas, and they'll be moving here within the year.
That's great.
And, you know, it's because I see the value of this community and what it can provide for my parents as they are aging, and my father is ill. you know, what this community, how they can surround them and hold them and comfort them and as they go into those. But I have a mother who, since birth, taught me to be an extremely strong, independent woman. And I think that's exactly what I am. And she's done well to put me in that aspect, but to also realize at the same time the respect and the consideration for others. Mm-hmm. And I just translate that into passion for me. And that's where I choose certain things that I want to be involved with. And it's interesting, as an executive director for a nonprofit that's pretty visible in town and pretty loud. we're in here every week talking about what we do, and I don't think anyone in town doesn't know what Habitat does. But it's challenging at times for me to jump into other nonprofits. And I had a great time with a really close friend the other day, and I said, what do I do? How do I do that?
Try to get involved because you're so involved with your own nonprofit. You're so, try to see if you can be involved.
Every
with
Saturday
other
night or every Saturday morning, I'm doing something for Habitat, and I don't get the chance to go to the other great events in town and support my friends and their other nonprofits, and that becomes a great challenge. But I think it's just time to refocus that and to figure out what is the most internal passion for me and where can I put that. And for me, it's some particular things. I've gotten very involved with the Lawrence Autism Society lately and with the Alzheimer's support groups and things that touch me internally.
Well, I think time management is a big key no matter what.
Oh, boy. You know, as with the three-year-old, yeah.
But time management and that's, you know, is working, you know, having full-time jobs, time management, you know, making sure you don't you know, forget about your families, making sure your priorities, and balancing that, and making sure, you know, when you're raising your kids, how to then also trying to make sure you're instilling in them a sense of community and service. I mean, what do you feel like? I mean, when your kids, was there anything that you did other than drag them to meetings?
Well, I grew up in a household, and so did Al, that parents who volunteered and gave a lot back to the community. So that was a pattern.
Example.
It was kind of like, well, you know, you eat, you exercise, you brush your teeth, you get the sleep, and you volunteer. I mean, these were just patterns and habits that which I drew on growing up. And certainly we showed the same thing. I mean, Al, far more involved from a volunteer standpoint when I was a teacher than I was, because you pretty well, you know, those steel doors kind of shut in August and open again in May, and you're pretty locked in. Mm-hmm. I mean, a noon meeting does not happen. And that's okay. I mean, at that time, that was what I wanted to do, and that's where my passion was and still is in terms of kids. But my kids saw that, and you know, they're just now looking at those volunteer opportunities in ways that, you know, they've gone to college and established careers and families and are in that, okay, now where do we go from here kind of situation. But, you know, Daryl was talking about the question of saying no. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking that she should say no.
You said that she said, no, I won't say no. And so,
to be selective.
Yeah, and I think it's really a hard thing in a community like ours that depends so much on volunteer service. And you really do have to define your passions, because there are so many opportunities. If your passion is kids, think of all the ways in this community that you can be involved in kids. You are doing yourself and that organization no favors at all if you're spreading yourself so thin that you are looking at something as a, you know, we say resume builder, but I want to do this so badly. Yes. But then you get in and you go, oh my gosh, this is a lot more involved than I thought it was going to be. And so I do think you have to pick and choose, but sometimes you have to jump in and then you can jump back out. Yeah. And that's okay. I mean, I believe that's okay too. It's okay to say this isn't a good fit.
Right.
You have to do that.
And one of the things you said there, and that's kind of, you know, as we are a business magazine, one of the things you said that there's so many opportunities and that it's so important to this community to have the volunteers and have people working. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that, is how these organizations and, you know, working with the leadership, Lawrence, and I know that Al has been really involved with the Boys and Girls Club for years, and how those things are so important part of the kind of the perception of our community and help our business.
Right, right. And right. So, well, if you think about Boys and Girls Club, for instance, and you think about the fact that this they have 1,800 kids and I believe it's 12 different sites served every day. And from 3 o'clock till 5 or 6 o'clock is the witching hour. As any law enforcement officer can tell you, that is the worst time of the day. That's the sex, drugs, and alcohol time for kids. Okay. And seriously, it is.
Their parents
are at work and they're sitting at home and thinking of things to do, and it's probably not look things up in the encyclopedia. And so I do think that Boys and Girls Club provides an economic development component to this community because it does put kids in a safe place while their parents can work. You know, the other thing is that it really does help with role models for kids to see career opportunities, the power hour of getting their homework done, having these incredible young people that they work with. Look at Trey Dudley. I mean, our National Youth of the Year, came from Lawrence, Kansas. And her family and her family's friends and Boys and Girls Club helped Trey become who Trey is. And without volunteers, without people who are committed to do that, that does not happen. You back that off. And I think of the things that Daryl's doing and the things that Tracy are doing, they make a huge difference in this community with the young professionals working on ways to get involved, to be active in your community. Right. What's available here? The things that Tracy does with Habitat, you know, the fabric of our community is not the same without people just out there giving, and sometimes again and again and again.
And one of the things, too, that's, and I know Daryl said that, I like what you were saying about her generation trying to figure out ways to give back, but then also people, you know, I think sometimes say, oh, you're young, you know, and I know that you and many of your groups are one of the youngest people. There are people, you're giving back, but how do we get her generation to be involved? You know, does it have to start younger, like she said, in high school, or is it, how do we get people in college and just out of college to be involved?
It's a good question.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit hard in Lawrence, my generation, because a lot of those people are at KU, and there's so many opportunities just at KU that aren't necessarily tied into the other community organizations. So I think really a big part of it is getting some of these community organizations to really reach out more to the university, who have, you know, many willing people to help with various things. And then I think once people are out of college, my age, who maybe just moved to Lawrence and don't really know what to get involved in or where to start, I think that's where the Young Professionals is starting to do a really good job of reaching out to people who maybe have a hard time walking into a group for the first time, not knowing anyone there, and feeling comfortable just meeting new people in general. And then that's really a gateway to other leadership and volunteer opportunities in the community.
That's a good idea, yeah.
I think we're actually just something we're doing internally in Habitat, and I think it's a great example, and we've learned from some other nonprofits. We're starting with Boys and Girls Club. We go in every single, just about every day, and do an after-school program and talk about how kids can get involved in Habitat, because the greatest part of that is then their parents also possibly get involved. But, you know, we also work with high school groups, and we have a huge KU Habitat program. And what that is for us is it's opening a door to advocacy for youth to understand what Habitat can mean to them and mean to their community.
That's great.
And what housing issues are. And I'll tell you, there are some, I think it's very challenging, but it just takes some people to look at people like Daryl and say, please come and please chair a committee.
That's
please
true.
Come help.
Well, we will come back and we'll talk a little bit more with Daryl, Daryl, Tracy, and Sue in a few minutes.
Right here on the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
Bring back the 80s. Well, here it is. Buffalo Bob's Smokehouse is offering a full half chicken that's been slowly smoked over a hickory log fire for only $5.99. And that includes a heaping helping of homemade tater curl fries.
Out. Swing by 722 Massachusetts today. Signs of life, books and art, truth and beauty.
News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN. Let's continue with the Lawrence Business Magazine show. And once again, here is Anne Frame Herzog.
I'm here with Women of Impact, Sue Howe. Sue Howe?
Sue Howe. Sue, we're related.
I actually have a friend named Sue Howe.
I love it. We're cousins.
her, her husband runs on the track team with my dad. So Sue Haas, Tracy Howell, and Daryl Wagner. So
hey, that's okay.
You know, this community does get smaller by the day.
So, and we've been we were talking a little bit about getting involved in the business side of this. And I also want to talk, though, is about working at your positions, like and how you work the balance between your job and your and your involvement in the community with your organizations, and how you where and your employers, and how employers and people in this community can work with the letting their people be volunteers, and but also keeping that balance because they also have businesses to run.
Right.
So, I mean, have you done that? I mean, because with your leadership, Lawrence, I'm sure you're dealing with a lot of that, just the time.
Right. Well, and my employer is the Chamber of Commerce. Right. And the Chamber of Commerce encourages, you know, a lot of us are on a variety of boards or commissions or things that, that give back to the community. Mm-hmm. And I look at Lawrence, and I look at the people that we deal with in Leadership Lawrence with businesses that send folks. Kern Marketing is a perfect example. All of our banks. If you look around at any of these volunteer activities, any of these signature events from Boys and Girls Club stuff, Van Gogh, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, the shelter, it is loaded with people from law firms and from banks because the community service is so valued. I think about Hallmark. You know, there's some national companies here, but a lot of our local smaller businesses so value community service. You know, my husband's at CEK Insurance. It's the same thing. Giving back to your community. I think that's what makes Lawrence so special. I don't think we're unique in that. I think there are a lot of communities that are that. There have to be. But we do have a business community that values the time, talent, and treasure that folks in this community have the capacity to contribute. And so I think we're very lucky in that aspect, and people take it very seriously.
Well, as you know, as a business owner and stuff like that, I think we see, you know, if having these events and things going forward, you know, when you have people that want to volunteer and do things, that having great charities in this company, in this community, really do help the whole perception
Absolutely.
Of this community, help this community thrive, help the children, help the learning. I mean,
and it helps the business. It helps the business too. That it's a partnership. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you don't volunteer or give your money to sponsor something and say don't worry about putting my logo out there. It doesn't make any difference. Well, yeah, it does make a difference. Right. I mean, the reality is that you know the logo and the publicity help. It's a partnership. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look at, Briggs Automotive is our presenting sponsor for Leadership Lawrence this year. I mean, we've had a great partnership with them. And those are the kinds of things that I think are really important in this community to sustain programs.
Well, so now, Tracy, you were talking about working with how your Habitat works with different groups. How do they work with that balance? Because also, you know, things take up a lot of time, and how do employers, you know, making sure that, again, they have a business to run.
It does. I have two board members who actually work at Wells Fargo,
okay.
and Jim Moore and Alex Norman, and they're fantastic. They're also executive board members, and it's really great because as a company, they work together and they have discussions about how important community service and public service is to their employees, and they take a look at how much time can they give into the community. Mm-hmm. They take some time from their workday. They allow that. They let us use their boardroom. They support us in different events financially. I think there are so many ways through employee matching programs, through time off for volunteering that many companies such as that do. I have another board member who works for IBM, and they do the exact same type of a manner. I do find that a little bit more involvement and leeway in some larger companies. But then if you start asking our local smaller companies too, all they have to do is ask, and I think owners and supervisors will say, absolutely, no one had asked, or we hadn't thought about that. So I encourage community members, if you want to do that, talk to your supervisor if you're at a certain position, or talk to the company owner and discuss how important service is to you, and maybe how it is to that company, and what can you, maybe they can let you guys offer a few hours. You know, we work with KU Athletics and KU Endowment and so many groups at KU. They take off afternoons as an entire staff and come volunteer on our work sites with us. It's more about development for them about teamwork, about giving back as a group and mm-hmm. as an organization, and they make that a priority in their organization to come out and work with us.
That's great. That's an interesting, like the team building kind of exercises mm-hmm. that when you're working together, everybody's working together on a project that's not work related. Mm-hmm.
You can learn. You find out a lot about each other. That's
Now, and now with Daryl, when we were talking about that, you're involved with several different organizations and at different levels and stuff too.
So. Right. So I think I have a little bit more of a unique skill to contribute to a lot of nonprofits in that I'm a graphic designer and have helped a lot of local charities develop identities for mm-hmm. their events and things to help promote and give them a visual identity that they never had before, and some marketing and recognition to help, you know, really grow and build and give some substance to some of these things that people may have overlooked before.
Right.
And then on top of that, I'm just really lucky to be able to work for Kern Group, the company that really lets me be involved in a lot of those things. And, you know, some of it is a balance of I don't want to completely abuse all my time at work designing for nonprofits. And so, you know, there is still time where I have to, on a weeknight, do something at home where I'm designing a pamphlet or a logo or something right. like that. And then on top of that, you know, once I step my foot in the door for designing for some of these nonprofits, I fall in love with and actually want to, you know, help with their events, help build a Habitat House, right. you know, do all these things beyond just my skill set.
So. Right. Then learn some new skill sets.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things, too, we're talking about generationally, too, when we're talking about kind of the different ways generations have changed and how Daryl and I were talking this morning, not to get real political, but her generation is, you know, shaping, mm-hmm. is helping shape they're the future of the country, and they are taking the responsibility seriously when you just look at the numbers on the last election, how things changed. So I guess I just want to talk about that a little bit, just about how the youth movement and the responsibility of the youth movement and how, you know, and as we were talking about, you know, we're all women here, but it's not just women. It's, as I said, you know, people say, oh, women, you know, I have different people say, oh, women think differently, do things differently. And then we were talking about women. I don't think women, it's not necessarily, I think people think differently. And that the more diverse a group you have, the more opinions and hopefully the better solutions you will right. come up with. And you
right.
can hopefully, if you listen to other people's opinions, and that's kind of what I want to talk about here just for the next few minutes, just a little bit about diversity of groups, because working with Leadership Lawrence, it's always been diverse. Because mm-hmm. one of the things I went through is like, well, Sue's coming on, right? Let's look at Leadership Lawrence. They've been doing this for 30 years. And let's see how, I said, I bet they didn't have that as, you know, I wonder how many women have they changed their, how many women have been part of that. And they've actually had women in that from the very beginning.
From the very beginning, yes. And the founders, I mean, half of the founders were women. Mm-hmm. You know, it is interesting to look at organizations and some of the people in my life that are role models. I mean, I look at Jean Milstead, Judy Wright, Shirley Martin Smith, Brilla Scott, people that are just amazing women in this community. And they've all been very, very involved in Leadership Lawrence from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. I mean, this has been something that I think this community can take great pride in. But on the flip side of that, if you look at the another article in the magazine about women mayors, mm-hmm. In a community that's 150 plus years old, we've had 9 women on the city commission, mm-hmm. And that's it. There's a lot of time when it's all white males,
right.
and that's fine. I mean, I'm not that kind of person who goes, gosh, without a female up there, I don't know what those guys are doing.
Right.
But
yeah.
at the same time, it does represent a diverse way of looking at things, and is more representative of our community, and that is one of our goals in Leadership Lawrence. And in some places we're successful. I think racially and ethnically we are not as successful, and it is something that we continue to work on.
That's
a sidebar to the conversation, mm-hmm. but I would agree with Daryl, and it kind of goes back to the first part of the conversation when you asked me about running for city commission, because my question is, can I do this? Daryl's question is, well, I wonder how I'm going to fit that in with all the others. Not can I do it, because she knows she can do it. I mean, she's seen people do it. She's got expertise in that area. For me, that was a question that I had to ask myself.
Well, I'm wondering, too, though, are you still, I mean, just, you know, now we have, you know, 19 women in Senate, and there's obviously more women in politics. I think there's more women involved, but are they all, but is being part of the community and giving back necessarily in politics and in city government, or is it in some of these other organizations like Habitat?
Oh, it's
women,
all over.
You know, but I'm just wondering, are they, you know, I think that our volunteer groups in this community are made up of at least 50% women.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
But they're not necessarily. Yeah. But why are they not? But maybe what is it about government that they're not, that's not as
maybe
high
maybe the rest of them are a lot smarter than I was.
That's a whole different kind of.
Well, it is. And it's hard. It's hard. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things that it is hard work. Mm-hmm. And it's personal. It's intense. You take a lot of hits. And
I think that
that's
people
tough.
See the hits that people take. And
that's really tough.
And people attack people personally
for
trying to really do this stuff.
It's not how you feel. It's not your position on someone. It's you personally.
Right.
And when you take personal attacks, that's very difficult. I mean, we could do it entire 4 or 5 hours on that.
But that's
the hard part.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you look at women and their experience and their role models, and if you look at Daryl and me, we don't have many. We've got Sue and... I can't even name anyone else that are those role models and that are encouraging us to do those things. And I think we're starting to hear some buzz in the community about those types of issues now and looking at women and what are our interests and how do you – I don't even think so many of us, even at my age, I don't even think I would know how to approach that, but it's an interest. And I don't have too many people to go talk to.
Yeah, well, running for office is a different thing. Have you thought about running for office, Daryl?
No.
I knew there was something about you that was really smart.
Well, I think there's still some of that stigma of for a woman to run for office and take that amount of commitment and time away from their family, that they are kind of more ostracized from or kind of penalized for, you know, taking that amount of time and saying, well, you're kind of leaving your family behind.
That attitude has not changed. I mean, you're exactly right, Daryl. And that's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. That's very unfortunate.
Well, I think also when you have that situation, it's like when you're running, like with you have to have a partner that's working. If you have kids that, you know, we were also talking that as attitudes have changed, it's not, you know, women have changed in their roles and what they do, you know, being in government and they said Title IX, all those, you know, opportunities, all those things have changed. But it's not, it's people's, you know, women can do more because everybody's attitudes are changing.
Yeah,
which I think is what's significant.
And marriages are partnerships now. I mean, you do divide the household tasks. It's not the woman who is doing all the in-home stuff and the husband is doing all the outside and the working stuff. And so you do have many more partnerships, which allows for some flexibility. And by the time I ran, my children had, you know, were in college. They weren't in school. And I don't know. Well, and I thought I could continue to teach and serve. Well, that was garbage because teaching is so inflexible.
Right.
I mean, if you own your own business or you work for somebody else, you could schedule a 9 o'clock appointment and make it up. My 9 o'clock appointment, all 35 of them showed up every morning, whether I was there or not. So that was a bit of a shock that I couldn't pull that off.
Yeah, that's got a little overbooked, did you?
Just a bit.
But I do think, politics and stuff and government does require a different kind of mindset, and it's because it is public service, and I think that all these things we've been talking about are public service. But when you're in public service in a place where you've been elected, you are so much more subjected to whims of other people.
It changes your trips to the grocery store, that's for sure. Those take a bit longer. But I do, you know, I think there's an exciting opportunity for for women in our community to continue to get involved and to continue to be great role models for younger people and male and female. I don't, you know, I listed great female role models. Right. I have some, I mean, Bob Billings, Larry McElwain, Gary Tobin, you know, you just go on forever. Mm-hmm. Some wonderful, and I look at the young people that are in this community that are committed to doing things. We are very, very fortunate. We have a cadre of people that are following along and just doing wonderful things.
That's great. Well, this has been really interesting because it's a little bit different from our other shows where we've really been focused much more on, you know, one single business. And this is kind of a difference about women in business and women kind of giving back in different ways to the community and helping our community thrive. And I think all you have been are amazing. And I think hopefully our listeners understand why you're part of our Women of Impact issue, because that, as we said, there's so many women in this city that have given back, and one of the things that we try to do is just really try to get a broad range of what people do, because you can't, these are not the Women of Impact, these are Women of Impact, some of the Women of Impact. There's so many more people giving back to the community, not just women, but men as well, and that's what's one of the things that makes this city wonderful. Well, I want to say thank you for being here, and I want to let listeners know that the Lawrence Business Magazine, you can get it online at lawrencebusinessmagazine.com, and find questions at lawrencebusinessmagazine.com for questions, and like us on Facebook, where you can find updates and information on the radio show and magazine. And so we're here every Thursday at 9 a.m. Doing this show, and we have in-depth conversations to follow up and explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. And with Lawrence Business Magazine, redefining the concept of business.
And right here on the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN, another great hour of the Lawrence Business Magazine. Got a Fox News Radio update for you right at 10 o'clock here. This is 1320 KLWN, Lawrence.
Kansas women's basketball is coming off a top 25 finish and an exciting NCAA Sweet 16 tournament run. Led by All-American candidates.